Welcome to another episode of the Blue Crew, a New York Rangers podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. I'm your host, Johnny Lazarus, joined by my friend, Cody Frankel. And it's just going to be the two of us today. Avery is, I don't remember where he said he was.
Probably chasing some other fucking squirrels to catch some nuts.
Whatever that chirp was. But we told Avery we weren't going to talk shit about him. So obviously we're going to talk shit about him in the first minute. Now that that's out of the way with Cody's horrible chirp.
Actually, he's probably fucking biting some wood in a dam because he's a beaver.
We have a ton of fan questions today that we're going to get to, and it's just going to be like a question episode. But before we do that, Cody, I do want to bring one thing up, and there is a clothing brand I want to talk about that is on the comeback, which apparently has been known for a couple years now, but I went to Abercrombie and Fitch. I went to Abercrombie and Fitch yesterday, and I got this shirt. But I got like three pairs of pants. Like, dude, they've rebranded their whole entire like store and everything.
You might be dead to me, but it's fine.
Have you been in an Abercrombie in like the last 10 years?
Nope. And don't
this is not an ad, by the way.
Don't plan to ever again.
Well, there's one somewhat close to you. I think it was like West, like near Rockefeller Center, like West 57th. But you should go in. I actually got a Jets t-shirt. Pretty cool.
No way, dude. Does it say A&F on it?
No, it's like, dude, I'm telling you, the store is like very cool.
Stand up. Do a little twirl.
Well, no, this is just a twirl, dude. It's just like a vintage, like washed out t-shirt.
But turn around. I want to see if it says the fucking A&F.
No.
Oh, dude, it has a huge A&F on the back bottom.
Is it really?
Yeah, dude. No, I don't need that shit.
Are you lying to me?
Yeah, I'm just messing with you, making you look like an idiot.
But no, they had a lot of cool like clothing t-shirts, but I got, so, you know, obviously like, whatever, like, well, trends and styles are different, but dude, all my friends are wearing these like baggy pants now, like the baggy jeans, and like they're kind of like in, and I never thought I could pull it off, but I tried a pair on that my
remember when you had. Tried shitting on me one time for wearing baggy fucking joggers, and I'm like, dude, what are you doing?
When was that?
When we were at the game, and I was like, bro, baggy clothes is the thing. You're wearing a baggy shirt, and you, yeah.
Well, I wear baggy shirts, but I've never worn baggy bottoms. I've been wearing like the tight pants for quite a bit, but
no.
I tried on these pair of baggy jeans, and like I was like, wait, I kind of can pull these off, I think. So
dude,
I bought
you gotta cuff
a few pairs.
You got to cuff them, dude. When you cuff them, they're sweet.
You don't cuff baggy pants?
No, when you cuff the bottom, dude.
What do you mean?
I'm saying when you cuff the bottom of like pants, they're fresh.
I think the cuff is like very 2016.
Very 2016, but yet you're talking about a fucking early 2000s brand that's
but
made
it's coming back.
No, dude, it's not New Balance. New Balance is back. Abercrombie & Fitch is not back.
I think you should walk into the store. New Balance definitely back, but New Balance shoes. Are you wearing
you
New Balance clothes?
Me, dude. Why don't you, what?
Are you wearing New Balance clothes?
No. Shoes.
The shoes.
Yeah, 550, yeah, baby.
But Abercrombie & Fitch, like clothes are back.
Honestly, I don't need more clothes, so it's fine.
Yeah. Well, give it a chance if you pop by one. Or anyone listening, give Abercrombie a chance because now I'm like addicted.
What about Hollister, dude? That's their rival. Is Hollister still a thing?
Nah.
Or American Eagle?
But you know, you used to like walk into Abercrombie and like you could smell the cologne.
It was disgusting.
It's not like that anymore though,
because they probably realized they were slowly killing people.
I'm telling you, we can shut up about Abercrombie because it's whatever.
I need you to make a better case for it next time.
When I get the clothes, because I have them in my apartment. I'm at my parents' place right now. Okay. But when I have them on me, I'll do like a catwalk for you.
Okay. All right. Bet.
But anything you want to talk about before we go into the fan questions? Because we have
here's the sick ass AK hat. So fire, dude.
Limited edition though.
Limited edition. One out of one. Nobody else can have it. Sucks to suck.
Can you talk about the inspiration behind it?
Yeah. I mean, I just went back and forth with my buddy AK. Shout out to Atelier Carl. And you know, we went back and forth on some designs. And originally it's technically like, you know, Central Park Rangers have like, in Central Park, you see the guys on horses and, you know, so that's kind of like a little bit of the inspiration. And then, you know, it's like a little like Western too. I kind of just and put a hockey twist on it with the torch, obviously Lady Liberty. And he's wearing an old school like R sweater. It's sick. And then the side is obviously the Rangers logo.
Mm-hmm. He makes honestly incredible hats.
Yeah. He made a Chicago Blackhawks one today. It's elite.
I see him continuing to like work with a lot of NHLers. It's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. He made Othman a sick hat.
Yeah, dude. The hats are unreal. I have the Coyotes one, the Rangers one. I'll probably like maybe ask for my own custom one this year.
Will you though?
I like the numbers in the side. Like Othman's has the 78. I think that's really cool.
Well, that's because that's his number, bro. What are you going to get? What was your number?
I wore 23 in college. I made like a 23 for like Foxy, like a Foxy hat. That'd be kind
of sick. Hell yeah, bro. I was 22. Fucking brothers.
22 and what? Rec league roller
hockey? Baseball. You fucking quirf.
You're cursing a lot today. It's really offensive.
You're getting upset about it? No. I'm sorry, dude. I've been cooped up all week working a 60-hour work week. And, you know, I just need to vent a little bit. And you're my platform to vent on because you're so punchable. So it's on my
Mr. Bachelor Party has to work this week.
Dude, you think I want to go on these things every month? No, man. I want to take vacation and like go to a spa, get a massage, chill out, not fucking drink for 72 hours straight.
All right. Well, I think we're boring everyone to death right now. So let's just go into the fan questions. But before we do that, I do want to talk about one of our sponsors for this episode, and that is Foreplay. Foreplay is a dating app, but it's more about the social experience. Team up with a friend, you make your own profile, the two of you together, and you start all the banter, all the fun with another group of singles. You create group chats, go on double dates, have all the fun experiences. It's already like mid-August. September is going to be here before we even know it. I mean, I watched the episode of Hard Knocks. How do we not talk about Hard Knocks? And summer is basically over. I mean, football's back. We're starting to see some hockey news.
Jets are going to be so sick.
Yeah, the Jets are going to be fun.
Did you watch episode one?
I watched.
You watched something that wasn't hockey.
I did. I watched. I actually.
And you're going to baseball games? Dude, what is happening?
Yeah, I don't know. I've been to two baseball games this week. I watched the Jets HBO. I got to watch the Johnny Manziel documentary. I heard that.
I need to watch that too. Yeah. I need to watch that too. It's crazy. Mm-hmm.
I heard that's really good. But back to Foreplay. It's all about creating the banter and creating the experience with another pair of singles. So bring your best game to the date with Foreplay, where you and your single buddies team up, make a shared profile, and go out with other pairs of single friends. And like I said, it's running out of time here for summer in New York. So I actually do want to say, Cody, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I did possibly meet a girl that could potentially be something, and I'm going on a date this week.
How frequent is the texting?
It's been like every day, honestly.
Dude, that's big for you.
Yeah, we met this past weekend in Chicago, and I don't, you know.
She lives in Chicago, though?
No, from there, lives in New York.
Oh, okay, that's great. Wait.
What?
So she was home visiting?
Yeah.
In Chicago? What's the chance of that? And she lives in the city right now?
Yeah.
Wow.
Kind of wild. And I know I talk about like my dating life on here sometimes. I don't want to dive in too deep, but for the people that are interested in it, yes, I'm excited about it. So
Where are you taking her for a date?
I don't know. You know any good wine bars in like the West Side?
Like Upper West?
Lower, like Chelsea. I want to do a wine bar.
There's plenty.
Can you?
Yeah, name I'll send some? You some. I'll send you.
Okay. All right. But yeah, so that's going to wrap it up for this Foreplay advertisement. And I think we should go into some fan questions. You ready?
Yeah.
All right. So this first one is from Brandman7694. Who is the biggest X factor this coming season? My opinion is Blake Wheeler.
You go first.
For me, I'm going to say, I mean, it's been the guys we've been talking about all summer. I think it's Lafreniere and Kako. I think it really is those two. And obviously Blake Wheeler is, you know, a good choice, right? Like we don't know what to expect from him. He's a guy that's a little bit older, but has a lot of game left in him. But I think all the question marks right now are around Kako and Lafreniere. Like, you know, they're going into their fourth and fifth full seasons, I think, already. Is Kako his fifth year already?
Kako's in his fifth year, man.
Wow. But we need to see what these kids can bring when they have more of responsibility. So I'm saying those two. You know, I don't mean to take two, and obviously that kind of, I think, limits your answer a little bit, but do you have anyone
else?
Believe
it or not, it doesn't. I'm going to say kind of a crazy answer, and I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to say Artemi Panarin, because I think he has a major chip on his shoulder coming into this season. There's been a lot of talk about he can't produce in the playoffs. He's a little overpaid. He's not worth his contract at this point in his career, blah, blah, blah. And I would love nothing more for this guy who just shaved his head like a boss to come out and absolutely just dominate this year. You know, like there's a couple of games, you know, you kind of see him disappear a little bit and things like that. I would love for him to just have an absolute career year, break the 100-point mark, go into the playoffs and just dominate and lead this team. And I think he is one of these sole Rangers who can physically take over a game and can't be stopped when he does take over a game. Mika is another one. Fox can be another one. So I would love to see that from him. And he's going to be my X factor.
I think that's so flawed though. Cause when you look at the regular season, like there haven't been like many players better in the regular season than Panarin. He's been a Ranger.
Totally. But Panarin's a guy who has a lot of like 3 or 4 point games, mm-hmm. and then he'll have a streak where he has like 3 or 4 0 point games. You know what I mean? Like, I just want him to dominate from start to finish of the year and just absolutely tear it up and shut the haters up, because
his numbers are ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
I'm looking at them right now. In 1920, his first year as a Ranger, he had 95 points in 69 games. Following year, 58 and 42. Then 96 and 75, and this past year, 92 and 82. I mean, the guy like puts up points no matter what in the regular season. Man, you can't ask for much more from him, I feel like, in the regular season.
You can. 120 points and lead the Rangers to a cup and dominate in the playoffs.
All right, fair enough. Let's go into the next one. This is from Connor Haggerty. What's the best regular season moment in the last decade of NYR hockey? That's a great question.
I mean...
Do you want me to go first? I have,
regular season. Okay, I had a playoff one. Regular season. Yeah, you go first, I guess.
I have two off the top of my head, and I think it was 2013, Ryan Callahan's overtime goal in Carolina that like clinched the playoff spot for the Rangers.
He came down
the left side and like snizzed whoever was in net for Carolina.
There's Callahan moving deep. He shoots. He scores! Rangers win! They're in the playoffs!
Like high glove crossbar in, like six shot to send the Rangers to the playoffs. I remember that like it was yesterday. And then I think like more recent memory, I would say the Mika 5-goal game, like Mika's 5th goal in overtime against Washington, like right before COVID happened. I think that was so sick.
Yeah. So I'm going to have to agree with you on the Callahan one. I think that one's awesome. I also think there were a couple other really good ones. Like the Wild were up 3-0 and the Rangers came back and beat them. That was a really good one. Mm-hmm. And dude, the Oiler game when we were down, I can't remember if we were down 4-0 or 4-1. And we came back.
I think it was 3-0 and then 4-1.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we beat them like 5-4, I think in OT it was, but then didn't they do the same exact thing to us? Weren't we winning 4-0 and then they beat us?
We were winning 3-0 going into the third and they won. That was the game Draisaitl knocked Trouba's stick out of his hand.
Yeah. And McDavid had the OT winner, right? Yeah. That was tough. He had the game winner. McDavid had the game winning goal. And then everyone was Draisaitl. Dude, are you sure?
Yeah.
No.
Are you Googling it?
Yeah. Yeah, because I need to prove you wrong. No, I could swear it was McDavid.
No, Draisaitl scored the game-winning goal and then skated by Trouba not to stick out of the stands. That's the whole thing. I think it was 2014, the stadium series with the Islanders and Devils? Like, those games were awesome. That was sick.
It's quite frankly a little tough to care about the regular season right now. Coming into this year, I think it if anything shows what the Panthers did and, you know, what some other teams did, it doesn't really matter that much about how you start the season. It matters how you finish and, you know, you can get hot and things like that. So like the first 50 games, 60 games are great, but I think it's the last 20 that matters, making sure the team is clicking that post deadline and really in a groove and like getting ready to go into war and, you know, go full on into a streak and hopefully hoist that cup.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's go into the next one since your memory is absolute dog shit. this one's from M.Crank10. Assuming Laff gets a 2-year deal, which is crazy that he hasn't signed yet, what point total keeps him a Ranger following his contract?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that's a fair question. I think he needs to show, you know, he can't show promise anymore. He needs to actually show the development. So I think, you know, saying he's a 55, 60 plus point player is probably the standard. Otherwise they'll probably look elsewhere. I mean, if the numbers aren't there and, you know, the plus minus isn't there and he's not showing significant improvement over this next year or two, wouldn't surprise me one bit if they kind of moved on from him or moved him somewhere else. All that said, I do still firmly believe that he has a lot of talent. But you know, going through two coaching staffs and not being able to produce, well, I guess technically this is the third one, right? So going through three coaching staffs and not being able to produce, I think would be a big indicator to the Rangers to possibly move on.
This is tricky because I think like if he puts up 60 to 65 points, I don't know if that guarantees him to stay as a Ranger. It might make him more attractive in that sense to anyone else.
Nah, because it also depends how the Rangers are doing as a team, right? If the Rangers are within a game of the cup or they've won a cup by then, like, he'll want to stay. I mean, you know.
But he's produced with the opportunity he's been given. I mean, we've talked about it. Like, the even strength goals, I think, since he's joined the Rangers, he's like fourth. and even strength goals.
But I want to see how he does full force on PP1, and you know
he's not getting PP1 time.
He's getting PP1 time, bro.
I will literally bet you $500 he does not get PP1 time.
Just watch, dude.
So you're not going to take that bet?
I'm not going to take the bet.
Okay.
What I want and what will happen are two different things.
Fair. All right. Next one. This is M.Crank again. This is more of a joking one, I think. But Gauthier over under 6 points versus the Rangers this year. And I believe the Islanders and Rangers meet 3 times.
Under. Easy under.
Definitely under. Like, I don't even know if he's going to crack that.
I'll bet you $500 on.
Yeah. I agree with you. I don't know if he's going to be an every night guy off the Islanders. Like, they have a pretty significant steady lineup right now. Like, I don't think he's going to play over Hudson Fashing right away on their third line.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Next one. Adam Monty 27. Let's get the summer golf questions going. Lowest round between you guys. And like, I wish Avery was here for this because I haven't played golf once all summer.
I just played last 2 weeks ago and it was only 9 holes, but I shot a 44. So that was pretty sweet.
Is that good? I've never shot under a 110.
Yeah. No. See, yeah. What? No. Yeah. But what, to be fair, like, 100 to 110 is like my usual. I mean, I've only been playing for 2 years, so that's like really? My usual. Yeah, yeah.
I just like you're a big golf guy.
No, I mean, I really got into it, so like I love it now because it's like you have the one shot and it just sucks you in. But I played insane. I had like I think I had 4 bogeys and a par. It was honestly crazy. And thank God my father-in-law like witnessed me do it. So like I you know. I have some backup.
You have proof.
Yeah.
It's so funny that you say just one shot sucks you in. Like, I actually went golfing with my dad and my brother-in-law probably like 2 summers ago. And my dad always kind of says like, no, I don't want to go. Like, fuck that. I don't want to play. Like, my dad used to love playing golf, but like now I guess doesn't love it as much. But first hole we get out there, my dad shanks one. He's like, this is why I didn't want to fucking play. Like, the sport sucks. Like, I hate it, blah, blah, blah. Second hole, he like has a great shot, like right down the green. He's like, oh, I'm so happy we're here.
Like, yeah. Dude, no, I totally. I do the same thing. Like, every time we play in the Hamptons, dude, the first hole, I shank it. Every time. And then hole two and on, I play really well. And it's, yeah.
I don't think I need golf anymore, man. I'm really into pickleball. I love pickleball.
Pickleball is great. Pickleball
I really am obsessed with it.
Dude, I would love to play against you and just smoke you.
Let's play. Honestly, let's make that happen. I'm so down. What are you doing next Saturday?
I was actually going to go to the Hamptons, but I don't think I am now. So maybe I'll be here. Maybe we can play
pickle?
Yeah, I'll play pickle with you.
In the city? Let's play some pickle.
Yeah, let's do it.
So down.
Do you have rackets with you?
No.
We can order some on Amazon.
Okay. Let's do it. To date. All right.
I invite Avery too, but he for sure sucks. He's probably so fucking unathletic, dude.
I feel like he wouldn't be good either, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. He'd be like, dude, he runs like a duck. We don't. All right. Love you, Avery. Sorry.
Next one from our friend, Chris Jastrzemski. Who would be the best player or players to fill Kane and Tarasenko's roles?
I mean, we got him already, right? Like, Blake Wheeler's filling Tarasenko's role. And I don't think Kane's role needs to be filled. He never really clicked as a Ranger. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he never really clicked as a Ranger. The thing is, they have no money. So it's irrelevant. They have 7 fourth-line guys right now. And, you know, I would hope Othman becomes the guy to fill Kane's role eventually. But,
well, I think he's saying with what they have right now.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So, yeah. I mean, Tarasenko is Wheeler, no brainer. And I mean, Kane is your hope in Lafreniere. Like, that's
no, I think it's Kako
or Kako. Yeah, one of them. You're hoping it's one of them. That's it. They're big, big task.
It's gonna be a weird year, man.
Yeah.
But okay.
I kind of think they're gonna be better than last year.
I don't know. I've had weird back and forth feelings about it. Like,
I just have the feeling they're gonna be a lot better than last year. Like, something about last year, you know.
They it's were the hype. Good,
but
it's
like, hype. You know last year who really like just every time we played them just brought me back to reality. And I was like, okay, we're not winning a cup because they're too good. And even though they didn't do anything, the Bruins, every time we'd play them, they would just like end up smoking us. And even if they beat us 2-1, like it was a dominant 2-1. Yeah. So they really brought me back to reality where I was just like, okay, we need some pieces, you know, blah, blah, blah. But I don't know. I love what they did this offseason. I think Drury did a knock-up job and, you know, they didn't spend that much money and they got a ton of help and they don't need that many stars. Like, you know, you hope that these two kids turn into the stars. They got Blake Wheeler, a lot of star power, and then they got some awesome guys like Bonino. So I'm with it.
I don't know, man. It's going to be weird. I have a feeling they might miss the playoffs.
Fucking dumbest take of all time.
No, I'm not like...
No. You want to bet $500?
I think this season is like the most unsure I've been in a long time.
Why?
Because it's just been like
they have a great coaching staff now.
But then again, a new staff is like, can the players adjust to the way that the coach wants them to play?
They're like, most of them are all vets. Even at this point, Kako and Lafreniere are vets. Like, they're kids, but they're vets. You know, like, I don't think that's going to be a problem at all. It happens in every single sport. I think we have a very, very good team. We just gotten some a few more proven winners like Bonino and, you know, guys who have been around the block like Wheeler. You know, been in this league a long time. I feel good. I feel good. I don't know.
All right, let's go to the next one. This is from Tom Palmieri, 36. Do you think we should sign Kane to a 2-year contract on the LTIR contract? I don't know how that works. Sign him to a 2-year deal before he even plays a game? Like
that's what would happen. Is
you, that what he's saying?
Yeah. You'd sign him and he'd go right to LTIR. And then, you know, if you're signing him for whatever, 60% or I forgot the number, maybe it's 50% goes on LTIR and comes off the cap. But the problem is you still have to sign him for what he's looking for. And then just half of that doesn't hit you. So yeah, I don't know, man. Listen, Kane is an unbelievable player, incredible career. Do I think he is the answer for our questions? Like, I don't know. I mean, we lost to the Devils and he didn't really do much of anything. You know, yeah. he had one really, really good game.
He had two good games.
Two good games. One.
Really I think he was actually there. Was I forget which game it was? It might have been game three. There was one game where he was the best player on the Rangers.
Game two.
For sure.
It was game two.
It was a game where he didn't even produce.
Nope. It was game
two. He just made shit happen.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. But then there was also a lot of games where he really played bad and had a ton of turnovers. So I don't think he's an option, to be quite honest. If he is, great. We'll take him, obviously. With what money, dude?
I would love to have Patrick Kane come in and play second line right wing and have Blake Wheeler be the third line right winger.
So who's our top line then?
It would still be Kreider. Mika, Kako.
Okay.
Actually, I mean,
tell me your lines right now.
Well, I said it a couple weeks ago, but I would love for the third line to be Trocheck, Kreider, Wheeler.
Well, yeah, everybody wants that. Everybody wants that line.
I know, but I don't think that's possible.
It's not, because they don't have the star right power now up front yet. Yeah. Until Kako and Lafreniere show that they are ballers and can produce consistently, like, that's when they'll be like, all right, Wheeler, take a seat, buddy. You're going to go to the third line and dominate there.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You need Kane to make that happen.
Well, not necessarily. Or Lafreniere and Kako go off like everybody's hoping they finally do this year. I mean, it's now or never for them, right? Like, you can't. The thing is, us filling that spot with a star is old us and what we've been doing when it hasn't been working. The only way it's going to work to get us to the promised land is literally if Lafreniere and Kako go off. So to sign somebody and say he's going to potentially knock one of them to the third line because you can't guarantee they'll both be top six is just like a failed plan, in my opinion.
What do you think of this? First line, Lafreniere, Mika. No. Panarin, Mika, Kako.
Okay.
First line.
Okay.
Second line, Lafreniere, Hedl, Wheeler.
Okay.
Third line, Kreider, Trocheck, VZ. No, I don't like this. No.
What about Kreider, Trocheck, Gaudreau? Why not?
No, I think I'd rather have VZ. Third line. I don't know, man. It's complicated. It's complicated.
I don't even know if there's a spot for VZ, dude.
Yeah, what do you mean? Yeah, there is.
Dude, they signed so many guys.
No, VZ's in there.
So?
He's definitely in there.
Okay. I mean, who's that last line then? Would you say it's Goody, Bonino?
Maybe like Gaudreau, Bonino, Pitlick, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know.
You're probably right.
No, I don't know. All right, but that's a great question. Let's go to the next one. This is from Bam Daniels. Pruka, Frolov, Zheredev. Which Ranger with the high ceiling let you down the most? That's a very like random question.
Yeah, maybe Frolov.
I would say Pruka for me because 30 goals rookie year, like,
yeah,
and then just kind of doesn't make a career out of it. I mean, I love Peter Pruka. Peter Pruka was like probably one of the first Ranger jerseys Like, I remember, like,
didn't you just tweet something about him the other
day? Yeah, he had a, you know, crazy rookie year and then never really panned out. He had 30 goals. I remember he had that green synergy stick that I loved. And that was a stick I like made my dad buy me because I love Peter Pruka. Like, I had the Pruka Liberty jersey. That was like my favorite jersey as a kid. That's like what I wore in practice.
Is he referring to, I mean, dude, because Frolov only played on the Rangers for a year. So
Frolov
like,
was like, I mean, he wasn't really that, like, I think out of the three of them.
Frolov was a great player, dude. He was a 50, 60, 70 point player, but then he came to the Rangers, but he only played like 45, 50 games for them and had like 15 points.
He was on the older side. Zhereshchuk was the biggest stud of the three by far. Zhereshchuk was supposed to be a star. I feel like Pruka had the most hype out of the three of them.
How many years was Pruka a Ranger again?
Peter Pruka played on the Rangers for 4 years. He had 47 points his rookie year, 30 goals, 40 points his second year, 22 goals. Then his third year only had 17 points with 7 goals. His fourth year only had 9 points and played in 28 games, 4 goals.
Yeah, and yeah, I was right. So Frolov played 43 games as a Ranger and had 7 goals, 9 assists, 16 points. And the 5 years prior never had under 50 points.
Wow. And then Nikolai Zhereshchuk played 1 year with the Rangers, 08-09, and had 23 goals, 35 assists, 58 points in 82 games.
Also, dude, Frolov was not on the older side, bro. His last season was with the Rangers, and he was 28 years old.
Wow.
Did injuries end his career? What ended his career?
I don't like remember.
Maybe he got fucking hunted down by the Kremlin or something. I don't know.
But similar question, Bam Daniels again. Kovalev or Gabrick? Enigmatic? I've never heard that word in my life. Enigmatic Ranger, did you love more? Do you know that word?
That's very, very sad, Johnny, but it's okay.
Really? Did I say it right?
It just means mysterious. Enigmatic.
Enigmatic? I've never heard that
I don't
word
know why before. I don't know why he's calling Gabrick mysterious, but hey, do you, man?
Well, I feel stupid. I've never heard that word.
Yeah. I mean, first and foremost, like, you didn't even watch Kovalev.
I was barely alive for Kovalev. Yeah.
So, which did we love more? I mean,
Gabrick,
probably Gabs.
Like, yeah.
You know, Kovey obviously won the cup, but we were.
Well, Kovalev did two like separate stints with the Rangers, didn't he? Yeah, Kovalev won the cup with the Rangers. His last year was 98-99, and then he got traded to Pittsburgh. Then he came back in 02, 03, and then 03, 04.
Mm-hmm.
And in those years, didn't really put up much. Like Gabrick, I remember more because it was like later on in my childhood. I was in like middle school and like early high school for the Gabrick days, and he had two 40-goal seasons in 4 years. Yeah. So yeah, for me, it's an obvious Gabrick. I feel like Kovalev.
It's Gabrick. It's
two before our time.
We watched this. Yeah, we watched his whole career as a Ranger. So
yeah. All right, let's go to the next one. This is from Devil's State of Mind. What is the biggest key to the Rangers bouncing back this season?
I think it's being open to the fact that there's going to be a new system, and get it washing out the old and like taking in the new. I think it's very important to let these new coaches run the system with you, and what. It's their show now, right? So I think that's really important. And then also, I feel like last season there was a lot of times we kind of got in our own way or we'd do something stupid and it would turn the game on its head a little bit. I think we just need to play smoother hockey. Honestly, play smoother hockey. And then obviously the two kids are just, we cannot stress enough. They are absolutely crucial to the Rangers' future success. Like the heart.
So I guess I'll feed off you and I'll say consistency. Like that's the first thing that came to my mind. And I think under Gallant, the lines were never consistent. There was always constant shuffling going on. I think the Rangers just need to find, a standard to play to because, last year, I think, they went on they had 2 7 game win streaks. They had a lot of good things happen, but then they also, when things were bad, things were really bad. So, I think for them, it's Igor being consistent. It's Foxy being consistent. It's Panarin being consistent. And it's Mika. I don't know why I'm like hiccuping. And Mika being consistent. I think it all hinges on those four. And obviously Lafreniere and Kako have huge roles this year. And we've talked about that a lot. But at the end of the day, it's got to come down to your stars. And you can put Kreider in there too. Because Kreider now has been a 30-goal scorer back-to-back years. 52, obviously, 2 years ago. But, I think those guys have to be the leaders and be the consistent ones. And that's what they lacked last year. And that's what they had 2 years ago, is that level of consistency and that like magical feeling that they had.
Yeah.
And I think that all does kind of start in the crease with Igor. I think Igor kind of, you know, gave this team a different belief in 21-22 that his inconsistency last year didn't really go through the lineup, or went through the lineup, I guess, in a negative way. So if Igor can find that again, I think that'll, you know, go through the room. So I would say consistency is the biggest thing starting from the top up, top down. Next one from Bobby Christ 1. Rank in order: Miller, Kako, Hedl, Laff. Most to least likely to be an all-star this year. First of all, I don't think any of them have a shot at being an all-star this year. Let's make that clear. But I guess if we're going in order, I would say, and do you mind if I go first here?
Go for it, bro.
I would say, just because I don't think Keandre is going to get the ice time in like enough time to be an all-star. Like, he's, I think he's going to quarterback PP2. I have a strong feeling that he will, but I don't know if that's enough to get him an all-star look. And this is obviously hypothetical, so I don't think any of these guys are going to be all-stars, but I would say Kako first, because I think he'll get the most ice time out of all four of them.
Okay.
I'd say Hedl second. I'd say Miller third, Laff fourth, honestly.
Okay. I'm saying Miller first.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with Laff second.
Okay.
I think he's going to have a huge year. Mm-hmm. That's why. Kako third and Hedl fourth. I think Hedl's going to regress.
Okay. Interesting.
I think Hedl, not that he's going to regress. I think he's going to be very much sturdy within the 40 to 50 point range, similar play. You know, I think Kako elevates a little bit. I'm hoping he'll maybe break that 50 point mark. I think that'd be awesome. Same with Lafreniere. I think, you know, I'm hoping he'll break that 50 point mark too, but, have more goals. Just like I told my boy G, I think he's going to have 25 plus goals, this year. Give me a little, 25 goal, 25 assist season. And, I think Miller is going to significantly build on his, 43 point season. He played really well last year, and I think I think people still said he didn't play as well as he should. So I think this is a year where he's going to play as well as he should, and I think the potential is a little limitless there.
All right. I like it. Next question. We got three more. This is from Sammy Hockey 36. Start, bench, cut, rookie edition. Connor Bedard, Adam Fantilli, Leo Carlson.
Start Bedard, no-brainer. I am going to bench Carlson and cut Fantilli.
You're cutting Fantilli?
Yep.
Wow, why?
Because I think Carlson is going to be sick. And I think, you know, they're all going to be good players. Obviously, Bedard's going to be amazing. But I think Carlson is a very, very sneaky, you know, Calder candidate.
It's funny you say that, because I think I'm actually going to take Fantilli to win the Calder.
That's fine.
I think Fantilli just... And I think we talked about it a little bit with Greg.
You're such a Ducks guy, bro.
What? You are a Ducks guy. I forgot about that. But Adam Fantilli, dude, he just has this different kind of swagger about him. Like, he's a very confident kid. He's NHL ready. He has the body. Like, just won the Hobey Baker. He's shown he can play with men. He's going to be, you know, probably the second line center, I'd say, for Columbus. And he's going to get first power play minutes with Johnny Gaudreau, Patrick Laine, Werenski.
Columbus is so bad, though.
But they have skill. Like, I think he'll put up points. Like, as bad as they were, Gaudreau still had like 74 points last year,
which is terrible.
On a shit team, they're like the worst team in the league.
Dude, he sold his soul to the devil. He has to fucking deal with it.
I think Fantilli, I really do think Fantilli, like, is going to be a stud.
So now that this season's approaching, even though it's still like, you know, 2 months away, whatever, let's revisit let's do our point totals for these three kids.
You sold me $50.
For what?
Devils over the Ducks.
I never said that.
Okay. What do you think?
I'll take you out to fucking dinner next time I see you. Maybe after pickleball. I'm going to start with Carlson. I think he's going to, depending on if they start him in the NHL. So that is what, you know, because he's probably the least sure of the three to like start play the whole year there. So sneaky Calder candidate if he starts the season.
I wouldn't say it's sneaky.
Okay, fine. If he plays the entire season in the NHL or like 70 plus games, I'm going to go with 48 points, 30 goal season from him.
30 goal season from Leo Carlson?
Yep.
Okay.
Let me ride, dude. Fantilli, I'm going to say he's going to be kind of similar, but I'm going to say 42 points. And Bedard, I mean, he's going to be so sick. I'm going to say 62 points.
All right, so I'll write this down after just so we have it for next year. And are we like betting on this?
We could if you want.
I don't know, whatever. We'll figure it out after. But I'll say I think Bedard's over-under set at actually 69.5. I think Bedard's going to have 24 goals. I think he'll put up like 58 points.
Okay, so 62. I said 62, you said 58.
Because I think Chicago's just like...
So bet 100 on the under right now. You won't. You won't. You're afraid.
I just think Chicago's not a good hockey team.
Yeah, like, no kidding, dude.
They're not good.
They're like, terrible.
I think, you know, it's exciting that he's there, but they're going to struggle like a lot.
They're not going to be a good team for a few years, but, you know, him being there is going to help other players want to be there. And they got guys like Seth Jones and, you know.
But I think Fantilli puts up 65. Yeah.
0% chance. I will bet that. I'll bet that with you. Johnny Gaudreau put up 74 points last year on Columbus, and you're saying Adam fucking Fantilli is going to put up 65? What do you want to bet? You want to bet a coffee on it?
Sure.
All right.
And I think Leo Carlson will put up 45 to 50.
Okay, so that's what I said. So we're in alignment except for Fantilli.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. I said 42, you said 65.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, that's a huge difference.
Huge difference.
All right, let's go to the next one. And this is a good one from Matthew Mugno, my partner at the Hockey News. Do you think Othman could be a dark horse for the opening night roster? I don't think so at all.
Unfortunately, no.
Yeah. I think they want to see him play a little bit in the AHL. They're not. Here's the thing now with the staff. They're not going to rush these prospects.
Correct. But what I can see, because it would not surprise me at all if like VC or Gaudreau kind of suck for us or someone there and they call him up for, yeah, you know, 30 plus games. If he's, it totally depends how he's playing down there, but if he's hot, like expect him to be called up. Him and Cooley are the number one and two choices. I wouldn't be surprised if I saw Cooley over him first. But if he's tearing it up, I mean, how long can you keep a guy down? Right.
No.
So when he wants to rise,
I would just say there's probably like a 99% chance he doesn't make the opening night roster.
Agreed. I'll say 98.7 to be difficult.
Okay. And then this is the last one from Real PJs. Who takes the biggest leap this year compared to last year? That's a great question.
Lafreniere. If he had 39 points, and I'm my point prediction for him this year is 55 points. 25 goals, 30 assists.
25. That's not a stretch. That's a good number. I think for me it's Kako. I think Kako puts up at least 60. And he had 40 last year.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, that would be incredible.
Yeah. I'm saying Kako. So we're kind of on the same page there. Like, those are the two that have to take the leap, right? So it's kind of like, yep. I don't want to say it's an obvious answer, but, you know, I'd be very, very surprised if.
Imagine Hedl just puts up 80 points.
I would bet a lot of money that Kako definitely puts up 50.
Yeah. No, I think if he doesn't, I would be very, very surprised, because there was like 30 games last year where he was literally a non-factor and he still put up 40 points. So if you take 10 out of those 30 games and he just gets a point a game, it's 50 points.
Well, I completely disagree with that. I don't think he was a non-factor in 30 games.
Dude, okay. Maybe not 30. He was for sure a non-factor in a good chunk of games last year. He played well, but dude, come on.
I think Kaapo Kakko was arguably like the best forward all year long. Like if you just do eye tests, if stats aren't a thing, like he was noticeable, I thought, in almost every game.
Nope.
Okay. Good argument. But that's going to do it for the fan questions. We're going to try to have a guest.
Get his jersey then, bro.
I'm not buying
Coward.
A jersey.
Coward.
I'm not buying a jersey.
Yo, we should
that's
go.
That's going to do it.
What? No, it's not going to do it yet. We should go. We should try and go to the outdoor game.
Dude, I'm going to be at every game this year.
No. You don't understand. I'm saying we should try and go. Like me and you.
I'm going to be at every game.
No. Dude. You're not understanding. Like, we should buy tickets and go.
Okay, man.
All right. We'll see you next week. LFGR, baby.